tinker with the distributor.
Boulders must come rolling in from the right and slam hit the wags. The natural reaction would be to turn and shoot the guys doing it to stop them from sending more your way.
Ryan faked a yawn and stretched his arms.
Which means the real attack will be from the left, catching us unawares from behind.
Any chance we could drive the truck into the trees and catch them by surprise?
No way. The trunks are too tightly packed.
Wiping off his hands, JB lowered the hood and gave it a slap to lock it tight.
Which only leaves us one option.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan started the engine. The men both smiled widely and shook hands, as if conquering a tough problem.
Bet these are the rest of Philippe's crew.
Most likely.
Think the trucks can do it? That's a lot of punishment. One slip and we're dead meat.
Guess we're going to find out. When you only have one choice, don't waste time dithering and worrying. Get it over with.
Stephen climbed into the cab, smelling of fuel.
Done. What now?
Now the killing starts.
Ryan passed the man a spare grenade.
Know how to use it?
Stephen nodded and started to unwrap the tape that held the arming lever in place. Whistling a happy tune, JB climbed into the rear of the wag and thumped the roof, signaling he was in position. Stephen swallowed twice before the words would come out.
8-second fuse?
Yeah, but throw on 5 to be safe.
Keeping a foot on the clutch, the one-eyed man started the truck forward slowly, as if he didn't have a care in the world. But his hand stayed on the gear shift. The other vehicles tagged along behind him, keeping formation. Hands clutched blasters and eyes darted everywhere, waiting impatiently. But nothing occurred until the convoy reached the middle of the pass. A distant rumble caught his attention, and glancing out the window, Stephen screamed when he spotted a line of boulders rolling down the hill, coming straight for them.
Run for it!
Stephen began pulling on the door handle. Ryan wasted a precious tick, clubbing the man quiet with his blaster. Then he shoved the truck into high gear and savagely twisted the steering wheel, turning straight for the oncoming boulders. If this had been summer with the hill covered with green grass, Ryan knew they wouldn't have a chance, the old bald tires slipping on the slick growths. But this was autumn, and the dried dead grass gave them a slim chance of surviving the mad tactic. The view through the windshield was pure chaos as the truck bounced onto the hill and started to climb the steep slope. Banking to the left, but staying on an angle so he wouldn't tip over the wag, Ryan fought the struggling truck to greater speeds and headed directly for the largest rock. The boulders swelled before him, and they passed each other, missing by inches. Any hunter knew you aimed where a moving target would be, not where it was. But more rocks were thundering down the slope. The deafening noise escalated louder than cannon fire, and the whole world seemed to be shaking apart as tumbling granite passed before the vehicle, so close the spray of loose dirt washed over the truck, blanketing the windshield. Temporarily blinded, Ryan hit the wipers, but only the passenger side wiper worked. Slowing a notch, he stuck an arm out the window and yanked his wiper into motion. His view cleared, and he savagely turned the steering wheel, but it was too late. The truck sideswiped a tree stump, and the bumper ripped off from the chassis, the impact slamming his head against the roof. As a dizzy Ryan fought to control the shuddering truck, it started to dangerously tip over. Then, miraculously, righted itself again. A full-throated war whoop from the back told him that JB had jumped position and kept them level. The tires spun like crazy, digging their treads into the dirt as Ryan shoved the gas pedal to the floorboards. Jogging left, then right, Ryan desperately dodged a barrage of smaller rocks, ignoring the trickle of blood seeping down his face and into his shirt. For a brief second, he saw the other three wags wildly zigzagging across the hill as huge boulders rolled endlessly from the bushes at the top of the hill. Ryan crushed the wheel in his grip.
50 more yards. Come on, baby! Move your fucking ass!
Another boulder came straight at him. He dodged it, and a handful of small rocks sprayed over the truck, shattering the windshield completely. Covered with tiny glass pebbles, Ryan glared at the people now visible in the bushes, struggling to shove additional stones to the edge. Somebody fired a blaster, and the Uzi chattered above him. A man screamed, followed by more gunfire. The truck seemed to launch into the air as it crested the top of the slope and sailed through a bush to crash on top of the screaming man, his hands raised as if to knock the truck away. Shifting gears and pumping the gas, Ryan plowed into a crowd of stunned men frantically trying to load rifles. The vehicle recoiled as the dead bounced off the rusty chassis. The wag bounced over a man caught underneath, and Ryan spun the wheel to lurch sideways and slam another. The screaming man left the ground and flew across the field to wrap bonelessly around a tree. Squealing to a halt, Ryan exited the truck and shot a woman who was shoving shells into a homemade shotgun, the patched barrel held together with baling wire. More rifle shots sounded, and the telltale chatter of the Uzi spoke of JB at work. Then the passenger van appeared, followed closely by the cargo van and the second truck, crushing more men under the sturdy tires. Firing steadily, the companions charged out of the wags, and a dozen more attackers dropped under the withering crossfire. Clem and Bob triggered their flintlocks, billowing clouds of smoke masking the men. The two cold hearts flew backward as the 75 caliber mini-balls smashed into their chests and out the backside, leaving gaping holes the size of a grapefruit. Moving like a panther through the battle, Hector buried an axe into the head of a cold heart, cleaving the man to the waist. As the vivisected body dropped, a sniper in the bushes caught the farmer in the arm, and Hector staggered to one knee, then rose again, firing a handgun snatched off the ground. The sniper fell, bleeding from the belly, and Ryan finished him with a headshot. Armed with axe and blaster, Hector sprang into the bushes lining the crest, searching for more hidden assailants. A scream, followed by ghastly whacks, announced he was successful. As the two groups took cover behind whatever was available, the blaster fire rose to a deafening cacophony. Acrid black smoke from the homemade rounds masked the battlefield as bullets flew thick across the grassy slope. Dean headed for the truck with the Molotov cocktails, but got pinned down behind a still-bleeding corpse. Tiny dust spurts caused by ricochets constantly kicked up from the ground. A van tire went flat, and numerous holes were punched into the thin metal bodywork of every vehicle by the random hail of hot lead. Spotting a canvas tent near a split-rail fence, Bob charged from underneath the truck and was immediately hit by several rounds at once. The fur-clad hunter stumbled once, still grimly advancing, then sighed and fell sprawling to the ground, his flintlock thundering impotently at nothing in particular. Crawling on his belly through the fresh blood and spent shells, Ryan advanced to the shelter of the stack of split wood stacked near the hot ashes of a dying campfire. There was a haunch of meat on the spit, and Ryan was repulsed when he realized it was the partially consumed torso of a human female. The cold hearts were cannies. Waiting for a lull in the combat, the one-eyed man pulled the pin on his only grenade, counted to five, and threw the bomb at the enemy. Somebody cried out a warning, but it came too late. The white phosphorus charge detonated in the air, raining deadly chemical fire onto the cold hearts. Hair and clothes blazing, the enemy ran about screaming insanely and slapping themselves with burning hands until they finally collapsed. The blackened flesh split apart, exposing the charred bones inside the steaming human corpses. Their numbers reduced to a handful in only minutes. The few remaining cold hearts hastily retreated, firing wildly. A spray of 9mm rounds from JB made them dive into cover, then Dean and Doc threw their grenades. With a blinding flash, the double blasts ripped the men apart, tossing arms and legs everywhere. As the smoke cleared, few cold hearts were still shooting. Standing amid the fiery destruction, a lone man stood bleeding from both ears and weakly pulling the trigger on a wheel gun that only clicked in response. Mildred trained the M4000 scattergun on the man, and in spite of the range, his belly was blown apart, entrails scattering to the wind. Popping into view for only a tick, Clem expertly shot a man directly between the eyes, then plunged a Nimrod into his musket, packing in a fresh wad and ball. With his spine pressed tight against a tree trunk, one of the cold hearts was frantically fumbling in his pockets for loose rounds. The slide kicked back on his weapon, showing the clip was out of ammo. Caught completely by surprise, the cold hearts weren't properly armed for a sustained fight, and nobody had even been able to get close to the armory in the log cabin. His pockets proved to be empty, and the man glanced over the dead, searching for a weapon. That was when he realized how many of his crew were gone. Big Charlie, Hanson, Mickey, Laura Lee, Clint, Joker. Enough.
Head for the river!
The man threw away his useless blaster and turned tail. Several others followed the strategic withdrawal, but soon it was a mass rout, the cold hearts leaving behind their spent long blasters and charging headlong into the thickets.
After him!
Clem shouted, waving his musket.
Let them go.
Ryan wrapped the leather strap of the Styre around his forearm to steady his aim. Standing upright, the Deathlands warrior moved the crosshairs in the scope from man to man, dispatching each of the cannies with